We dive into the Ravens' undrafted rookie free agent class with a very special guest next here on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. And we're here on a Thursday edition episode. It's time to talk about here today. And here with me to do it, returning to the show, is Cole Jackson. Cole, it's been a while, man. I'm excited to have you back on the show talking draft, undrafted free agency. How you been?
I'm good, buddy. Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks, but things are going good. It's been nice to have some, I guess, content to get out there during kind of the down period before camp starts. So it's been a lot of fun and, you know, just trying to get through, like I said, the dead period. This is when it's, you know, we're just aching for training camp news. So, you know, luckily OTAs are around the corner and then we can finally get some more Ravens football going.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to get to that point. I know with the draft in the rearview mirror and obviously the schedule release in the rearview mirror, there is a little to look forward to, but we are more in the dead period of the offseason, so I'm excited to get back to Ravens football for sure. But Cole, we haven't had a chance to talk about the draft in an 11-player class. I was a little surprised about the sheer number of draft picks, but with everything going on, they got 6 fourth-round picks in the end, took 2 really solid first-round prospects, traded away their number one wide receiver. I mean, literally, it was a whirlwind all around over the course of the weekend. What were your overall thoughts on this draft and what they were able to do?
I thought, like, you know, the funny thing about the draft is when I was doing film rooms before, I kind of did that thing where, you know, everyone starts with kind of the top guys at each position and you go ahead and kind of go through and you do film on them and all that stuff. And then the funny thing was, like, and I never get through the whole draft class. I just don't have enough time. But the Ravens got such good value in this draft that I had already watched, like, almost everybody. And the fact that, like, they were getting Daniel Falele, who I saw as, like, a round 2 guy in the 4th round, and they were getting Travis Jones in the 3rd round, who I saw as a day 1 guy, like a late day 1 guy, early day 2 guy. Ojabo was obviously in play at 14 before the injury, and then, you know, Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton have been huge talk. So, I mean, that was kind of the reoccurring theme of the draft, was just the insane value they were getting at these picks. Guys that were projected to go way earlier were seen as steals for the Ravens, and good for good reason. I mean, they got a lot of good talent. You know, replenished their offensive line, added some good pieces to their DB group. You know, adding David Ojabo is an exciting addition. Travis Jones adds some depth to a D-line group and some youth, which they really needed. You know, the new tight ends are really exciting. So it's been a lot to digest with just how many guys there are. But overall, like, you can't feel down on this draft at all.
No, it was an amazing draft, and I wanted to talk, Cole. I mean, the draft overall, we talked about how the Ravens, they traded away Marquise Brown. They didn't take a wide receiver. They took those 2 tight ends, as you mentioned. But what did this draft tell you about the direction of this team and where they're going, either offensively, defensively? I mean, what did it tell you overall?
What it told me is they have a lot more faith in the fan base and the young receivers they have on staff. And so that's going to be something that they're either going to be geniuses or they're going to be the opposite of a genius, depending on how it pans out. But it was clear they weren't going to do a long-term deal with Hollywood Brown, and they decided, let's trade him now and get a better return on his value than if we, you know, he plays the year and then they're flipping him when he's kind of like in the fifth-year option, and they just wouldn't have gotten as much in return. So, you know, it does beg the question, what are they going to do? Rashad Bateman's obviously a very exciting piece. They haven't added a vet. So now it's like, all right, Tylan, James Prochet, and Devin Duvernay, it's your time to shine. So it was definitely interesting. I really didn't think they'd trade him just because he was such an integral part of the offense. I think the speed element is something that's really underrated in this offense. I think Hollywood Brown demands respect that just, you know, just any fast guy doesn't just demand respect that Hollywood Brown did because he's such a better route runner than the normal speed receivers. So I think that's the important part. And so they've created a huge void, but they got value in return to fill another void. And that was obviously the Tyler Linderbaum pick, which was a big addition to the offensive line. So, I mean, a bit of give and take, but this just told me that they're going to trust their young guys. And it's going to be, like I said, either the best move they ever made or a terrible move. And we've seen what can happen with a depleted wide receiver core. So, you know, ball's in their court. I'm hoping these young kids are ready to step up.
Yeah, and it's crazy that the Ravens were able to get the value that they did. I mean, Marquise Brown was the 25th pick in that 2019 draft, and the Ravens end up trading him. 3 years later, for pick 23, which then turns into pick 25, which obviously turns in to Linderbaum. But Cole, I don't think I'd be doing my job right if I didn't ask you about the offensive line with you being an offensive line guy. Tyler Linderbaum, Dana Flele as well. Two players who, yeah, good value overall. I know the Linderbaum pick was a little bit of an interesting one among the fan base. Some really liked it, others not as much. The Flele pick overall you talked about, I had him as a round two guy also. Great value overall. But what'd you think about those two picks and how they fit in now with what the Ravens do on that offensive line?
What I really liked about the Linderbaum pick, and I hated Linderbaum at 14. That I was completely off, didn't see the fit. The fit still I struggle with, but you know, after I dove into his tape a little bit more, I think they're just banking on having a plus pass protection player and you know, his what he's gonna be asked to do in drive block situations. He's just going to have to win by stalemate. He's not going to be the kind of guy that blows the guy 3-4 yards off the line of scrimmage on down blocks. But, you know, he does show elite quickness, good hand placement, good ability to refit. He's tough. He's a competitor. And so he's going to have to put all those things together, work angles. And like I said, stalemate guys. And that might be just enough. Theoretically, in gap runs, it is enough. So, and then if it allows the Ravens to run more zone, I think that would be a really nice wrinkle they could add to their offense, especially with J.K. Dobbins coming back. It's something he did really well at Ohio State. And Linderbaum's movement skills are absolutely elite. The most freakish I've seen from a center in like the last 5 years when I've really been studying the draft. I know a lot of people say 10 years, and that's probably true. I just didn't study the draft that much back in the day. So, I mean, Linderbaum's an absolute addition. It moves McCary back to tackle or six-man role, which is also a good benefit. And then Falele is just a fun guy. He's got a ton of work to do on his pass protection. He's really got to develop a vertical set. He knows that. He spoke about it at the combine when he was asked about what he needed to improve on. First thing he said was his vertical set and pass protection. Makes me feel like I'm not crazy because that's all I talked about when I broke down his film. So that's exciting for me. You know, he should be a fantastic run blocker. Even if he's asked to play immediately, he's massive. He's competitive. You know, on down block situations, he just moves bodies because he's just 6'9", 380. Like there's just not much you can do against that. He's going to have to work on his pad level. Like anybody that's 6'9" playing O-line, a little bit of work in his flexibility. It was interesting to see him come into rookie camp at 380. He measured at his pro day at 390. He played as high as 400 pounds in Minnesota. I was really wondering how his weight would evolve as a pro. I wonder if they'll aim to get him down closer to 370. I think it would really benefit him, especially if he could lose some of that. He's got some bad weight in his lower body. I think if he could shed that, it could really help with his bend. But, you know, what I liked about it is they've stacked options at offensive tackle. So if Ronnie Stanley can't get back, you got McCary, you got Morgan Moses, who could maybe move over. You still got Juwan James, who knows what we're going to get there. But now you also have Falele, where if he was your starting right tackle and you're running behind him, you probably feel okay about that. He's going to take some lumps in pass pro as a rookie. Most rookies do. But I think you feel okay in a run-heavy offense with him there. So, you know, like I said, they stacked options. They made key additions. And they really seem to emphasize, you know, getting guys in that could excel in pass pro. And that's really what I saw with Linderbaum, which I think speaks to the whole we need to build a wall around Lamar. So I think they made good progress in doing that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's funny because you have this, what many deem is an undersized center in Linderbaum, then this massive human in Filele. So it's like the differences between the sizes in the two. And not, I'm not saying Linderbaum is like a small human in general, but obviously at the center position, you know, that's something he was labeled as. And for Filele, someone who I think maybe might not play right away, obviously with Morgan Moses there, even Juwan James, someone who the veteran presence that those two have, I'd assume that there may be a pecking order for Filele to kind of surpass. But I think overall, they did a good job with their offensive line in the draft. But Cole, who was your favorite pick in this draft and who was your least favorite pick for the Ravens? Now, I do want to make a rule. No Kyle Hamilton. I know I want to get some of the later round guys from you. I mean, look, Hamilton was my favorite pick, so I'm putting the rule on myself also. But outside of Kyle Hamilton, who was your favorite pick? Who was your least favorite pick?
It's got to be Travis Jones is my favorite pick. He really popped out at the Senior Bowl, and I did his film right after it. And I just – some of the stuff around his pass rush game, it's just one of those things where I wonder how much that narrative kind of went around the draft community and people just kept repeating it without really watching him. And so when I put on his film, I was like, well, I mean, he's constantly pushing the pocket. He shows a good pass rush arsenal. You know, he's got really fluid hips. He's able to get a nice narrow stance in obvious pass rushing downs, which if he's asked a one gap, he should really excel at. I think he's going to, I will put a guarantee he will be a steal of this draft. People will look back and be like, how did he fall in the third round? He's just that good. He's got the ability to two gap stack offensive linemen, read the play and shed for and run D. He's got the ability to push the pocket. He's nice and low with his pad level. He came in at 6'4", 325 at rookie camp, so I think he shed 10 pounds, which is good. He was as high as 345, if I remember, at UConn last year. 2019, because 2020, their season got canceled. So, you know, it was good to kind of see his commitment to being a pro. That just shows that he's ready to go. And like I said, he's got everything that the Ravens are going to want. I don't think he's limited. I think he'll play a lot of one tech. I don't think he's limited to just being a nose tackle. I think it's funny because people keep being like, well, he's a nose tackle. At UConn, he actually played way more snaps in the B gap as a three tech than he did with one. So I think he can do both, which is really exciting. And I could see him, you know, early in his rookie year being Michael Pierce is like down one, down two, and then they get Jones on for third down pocket pushing situations where they kind of want to get that guy in the middle of the line of scrimmage to either force a double or take advantage of a one-on-one block. And then you can do some fun things defensively with like him and Calais Campbell because you can't really double team both. So, you know, leaving one of them one-on-one lets them get that interior pocket push. So I think that's exciting. In terms of the least favorite pick, it's kind of hard. There was no pick that I really like. I kind of was frustrated with the punter pick, Jordan Stout, but he does look so legit that when you have 6 fourth round picks, it's like, why not kind of take the top punter on your board when you kind of have Sam Cook possibly retiring, possibly tomorrow, and that's what that press conference is about. We'll see in about, 12, 15 hours. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm down on Jordan Stout. There's just other routes I would have gone with that pick. I'm not as high on Charlie Kolar as other people are. I like a lot Isaiah Likely as a pick way more. The skill set is a nice complement to what they already have. Kolar is very much in the Mark Andrews role as kind of a big Y that can flex out and play in the slot, which I think is important because if Andrews were to go down, they want to have someone in that role that can kind of do it. So I kind of get what they were thinking. But again, there's just other routes I would have gone with those picks. So I would say those were the two I was more down on.
Yeah. For me, my favorite one, this might be a hot take, but it was David Ajabo. And I know that the timeline to return, we don't really know when he's going to come back, but this essentially, even if he doesn't come back until 2023, what I've been saying is it's pretty much like if he comes back fully healthy, trading a 2022 second for a 2023 first, because he is a first round prospect when healthy, which I think is a phenomenal trade there. And then yeah, least favorite, you know, for me, it was also the punter. I mean, again, it's so unfair because it's like, he does have the potential to be like this great punter and be really, really good. But I mean, the value with taking a punter in the fourth round, if he's this great punter for 10 years, like that's awesome. And you mentioned it, 6 fourth round picks. I mean, there are so many routes you can go with it. Maybe another outside linebacker because of Jabo, you just never know. And Tyus Bowser coming back. But also, I feel like overall, that to me was my quote unquote least favorite pick, but I think they had such a good draft overall. There wasn't a pick where I was like, oh, this is horrendous. Like, this is awful, because they had a good overall draft. We'll head into our first break here on Locked On Ravens. When we get back, we'll be diving into the Ravens undrafted rookie class and breaking that down. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about on Locked On Ravens. First of all, I do want to tell you a bit about Built Bar. And there are a ton of things that Built Bar has to offer, and including if you like brownie batter. And I know I like brownie batter. It's really, really great. You're in luck if you like it, because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The brownie batter puff. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com with 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick me up for any day, and all Built puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Go to Built.com to get brownie batter puffs now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Cole Jackson. And Cole, there was so much made about the Ravens draft in general, the 11 guys they ended up selecting. But a place where the Ravens have made a lot of bread and butter has been with their undrafted classes over the course of their franchise history. It always seems like there's at least one of those guys. And there was a streak for a while where they had one of those guys on the roster every single year. But I was impressed with the guys that they were able to get this year for 2022. And I know that when looking at the offense, a big talking point is the wide receiver position. We're going to talk about it in all three segments here today. But in terms of the young, undrafted wide receiver guys, you talk about Slade Bolden out of Alabama. You have also a couple other guys who I think could make impact. Some of these big bodied guys like Mekhi Polk out of Mississippi State, a 6'3 guy, a little bit thin in terms of frame. You also have guys like Devin Williams out of Oregon, who's a 6'5 guy. How'd you like their wide receiver guys that they got in undrafted free agency?
It was kind of funny because they really were looking for what seemed like a certain mold. And so what it looked like is they were trying to replace Miles Boykin. And so what they were kind of getting were big bodies, guys that kind of fit the X, but also guys that were either look like they'd be special teams contributors, look like they'd be blockers, or obviously I think Polk is someone that they could maybe see. And I put Devin Williams in that group too, as someone that could maybe really develop as a true receiver. But it seemed like they really wanted to bring in someone with, I'll call an X body. And what I mean by that is just a bigger body, you know, the 6'3", 220 kind of guy that's going to come in and be that type of receiver. Slade Bolden was a bit of a different, we'll call it flavor, and they probably just like what he brings. He's got an uphill battle just with how many slot options they have right now, and he looks like a true slot. So it would be ideal if they can kind of keep him on practice squad and keep him around, let him kind of develop within the organization. But I mean, he could always push for a spot too. It's hard to say. But the guy that I think hasn't got, it was funny because I kind of, a guy said like he guarantees this guy's going to be a starter for the Ravens this year. And I kind of clammed on him on Twitter a little bit. But I actually really like Emeka Emzi from NC State. I don't know if they ever officially signed him. What I found confusing around this UDFA class was there were a ton of reported signings that never ended up signing. Like there was a kid from Canada that's, played the CIS for the University of Waterloo, who was reported to be signing and he never signed. It was weird. I'll need to double check, but I really liked MZ's game. He was like one of the most physical receivers I saw. He gave Andrew Booth Jr. a ton of problems. I'm hoping he did indeed sign, so I'm not talking about him for no reason. He was definitely one of them. I think Devin Williams is a tough one. You kind of watch him and you can see how he can do so many things well, but I just like I get worried about guys that win a lot with jump balls because they're not separating at the college level. Are they going to separate at the NFL level? Are they going to have to make a living at the NFL level as a jump ball guy? I just didn't really see a lot of separation in Devin Williams' game, so that kind of worried me. But I think Mekhi Polk might be the guy that really pushes for this one of these spots. And basically the Ravens have two open spots as a wide receiver if they carry six. And they've been carrying six lately with it looking like four tight ends. They may only carry five. But there's at least one spot, maybe two up for grabs. So I would imagine they'll go with one guy. If they go with two, let's say, they'll go with one guy that has upside as a receiver and one guy that's kind of the special team guy. And they always do that. And that's really how I could see MZ getting on this roster, because, you know, he only ran a 4.8. He wasn't fast, but he's physical. He has all the gunner characteristics you would look for. He looks like a willing special team contributor. Just kind of looks like that type of football player. So I could really see him pushing for that spot. And then I really think Mekhi Polk could push for that true receiver spot.
Yeah, well, we're going to hop on the Malachi Polk train, because I think for MZ, I could send you a picture from a Panthers jersey right now. I think he ended up signing with the Panthers.
Okay, so another one right. of what I'm talking about. It's weird, right. eh?
Like, no, it is. It was multiple. It was multiple players where it's like it was at least two. I think at least two it happened where they were on the
reported list.
Well,
it was definitely Trey Ford from
Canada.
Like from Waterloo, because that was – I remember Jonas tweeted it at me because he was like – pulling the scoop from Canada. So yeah, that's why I was like, I started talking about him and I'm like, I don't know if he ever actually signed. So no, it's good to know. Cause I mean, this was one of the weirder years with tracking these UDFAs, because a bunch of report, and just not just with the Ravens, around the league, it kept happening.
No, it was weird. So when looking at now with MZ out of the fold, do you think Mekhi Polk is the guy for you who has the most likely chance to make the roster from that position?
Yeah, I still think so, because I think he's the more natural receiver. It would really be between him and Devin Williams. And a lot of people on the timeline love Devin Williams. And I mean, I've eaten crow enough times this year, so who knows, maybe I'll do it again. I just really didn't see it when I watched him. So, you know, I would kind of put my money down on Polk to be that true receiver that pushes for a developmental roster spot.
Yeah, I like Mekhi Polk a lot, and the good thing about this is the Ravens gave themselves options. It wasn't like they just brought in one or two guys and they're going to kind of see what they have, and then if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. I mean, they have a lot of guys who they can look at and have a really good look throughout training camp, the preseason, and if they only keep five and they opt to not sign a veteran, and obviously there are guys like Benjamin Victor and Jalen Moore have been around for a long time, but they could find a diamond in the rough here, which they've done it so many times at this point. It's not even surprising if they find someone at the wide receiver position. I think that'd be a very good thing. But Cole, on the defensive side of the ball, the Ravens adding a couple of guys at the linebacker position, Chuck Wiley from Texas San Antonio. You have a couple inside linebackers. Josh Ross was someone I thought the Ravens were going to take with that sixth round pick. He screamed Raven, Mike McDonald connection, Michigan connection. You have all that going on, but they took a couple guys, Jeremiah Moon, also from Florida, a 6'5" guy, and ended up having 49 tackles, 2 sacks. How'd you feel about what they did to the linebacker position there?
I loved it. They were definitely looking for who's that next kind of Chris board there. You know, they do this every year. They bring in some linebackers that they have some upside as defensive players, but they're true special teamers. Josh Ross really did scream Raven to me. I didn't get a chance to really watch a ton of Chuck Wiley. But one of the other kids that they brought in, Zacoby McClain from Auburn, he was a really – and I'm hoping he actually signed, because maybe he did.
he did.
So
don't worry, he did.
We'll have to look – okay, then we're good. Right. That was one that really stood out to me, because he kind of popped watching other guys. He's undersized as a linebacker, but he had just such a nose for the ball. He was kind of – the way he would flow in and out of gaps – the way he kind of processed, he actually had some really good upside as a defensive player, not just a special teamer, and also a hard-nosed player. So he does have that special teams ability. So I think they brought on Jeremiah Moon's really intriguing out of Florida. He's 6'4", 249. He had freakishly long arms, which is always kind of an interesting trait. You know, he's played, I think he was a 6-year player because of injuries. He missed a couple years and regained that eligibility. But, you know, was able to get to the passer, had some pass deflections. I think he had 8 sacks last year for Florida. So some really exciting things there for, you know, as a true pass rusher that could kind of come in. And, I mean, they're thin at pass rusher, so there's definitely a real opportunity to get one of those spots. I do think there might be some favoritism towards Josh Ross, just with the connection with the current defensive coordinator. But I also think it's a good fit. The kid they got from Navy to Diego Fago just screams Raven to me. Watch him play. He's actually a plus size, plus player in coverage, which I thought was really interesting. I really think he's going to push for a roster spot. But I love the competition. They kind of got a bunch of the top linebackers that were still left over. And I think most of us expected them to draft one. And we expected them to draft a receiver. So they kind of brought in four or five guys at receiver and linebacker that were the top of the UDFA class, which I think is, that really shows where, if they were to say, where'd we miss in the draft? Obviously, it was linebacker and wide receiver. So I think that made a ton of sense. To be honest, none of the other positions they brought in really kind of popped, except Aaron Johnson. He's a tackle for South Dakota State. I can't see him pushing for a roster spot, but I'd love to keep him around on their practice squad. He's a very interesting tackle, some nice raw skills. I noticed him watching a couple of FCS games, just that South Dakota State. When you get to watch North Dakota State, up in that area, he was a guy that actually popped before the Ravens got him. So he has a lot of, I think his body really needs to fill out. So a year in an NFL weight room on a practice squad unit would be great for him. So I think that's kind of an exciting one for a developmental tackle.
No, it is. And I think also when looking at just who could make the roster from an undrafted perspective, I think they might have one or two spots that could go to these guys, especially, obviously it depends what they do over the course of the rest of the offseason, but you look at guys even like an Anthony Brown, who, if the Ravens decide to keep three quarterbacks, I don't anticipate them doing that, but if they do decide to keep three quarterbacks, Anthony Brown's the only other quarterback on the roster right now, and that could be an option. But Cole, when looking at maybe, let's say, the two most likely guys in the undrafted class who you think could make this roster, is it Mekhi Polk? Is it Jeremiah Moon? Who are those two guys if you had to pick just two of them?
I'm going to go with Mekhi Polk. I'm there on him. So I'll go with Polk, and I'll go there with Josh Ross. Maybe it seems like too obvious of an answer, but I think it's good. It's tough because I really want to put Fago in there. I'm going to go with Fago, actually, because the reason I liked him so much is because I saw a plus player for being a UDFA. Obviously, he's not like a top coverage player in the draft class. But if you're a guy that's going to come in and offer that type of skill set as a pass coverage player and also play special teams, I think that's really valuable to teams because you're going to be active on game day as part of the special teams unit. And then you may not be part of the base defense because you're kind of the third, fourth linebacker. But if you can carve out a role as a coverage guy playing the dime, things we saw Anthony Levine do for years, things we just saw Chris Board do before he left in free agency, that was really his path to carving out a bigger role. It wasn't being a true three-down linebacker. It was, I'm going to be a special teams ace, and I'm also going to play in the dime coverage unit. So I think that's what I really see as his path. Polk, like I said, I just think is the more natural receiver. So if they want to use that fifth spot on a guy that's going to develop, I think he makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Mekhi Polk also is the wide receiver to me who feels like the most likely. But I was gonna take Josh Ross when you decided to go against it, and then I'm like, wait a second, I'm gonna go to Zakopi McClain. I'm gonna say Zakopi McClain is the guy for me, a player who, again, definitely a little undersized for sure. But I think just overall a player that is like the sneaky guy to make it. Someone who you might look at and say, how is this guy going to make the roster? But I think if you have Polk, if you have McClain, even another one of those inside linebackers, dude, like, again, Ross makes a ton of sense. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he ends up being a guy who makes this roster just because of the connections. But I think Zakopi McClain could be a very good option for them and someone who could contribute in multiple aspects of both defense and even special teams also. So I like the Ravens undrafted class. I think they did a pretty good job here. And again, as you mentioned, Cole, stacking at positions, they ended up not drafting a ton of at, which I think really helped kind of soften the blow of not actually spending an actual draft pick on that position. But we'll head into our final break here. When we get back on Locked On Ravens, we'll talk about what could be next for this Ravens team. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Still a ton to talk about. But first, let me tell you a bit about Bet Online. And our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. And if your team has been eliminated from the NBA playoffs, mine being the Denver Nuggets, so it's been a while, find all the latest odds, sports, news, and developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, which are still going on, Major League Baseball, sports, vice, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, the playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today, use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back. Our final segment here of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with Cole Jackson. And Cole, there's a lot that still could be done. I know, obviously, the first couple waves of free agency have passed, the draft, the schedule release, and everything. And there are still a bunch of guys who could contribute to the Ravens if they were able to be signed by the team. Obviously, the wide receiver position being one that has been a hot topic of conversation. I know we talked about some of those undrafted guys, but there are veterans out there in the form of a Julio Jones, a Will Fuller, a T.Y. Hilton, all guys you would have to probably account from his games with. But when they're healthy, they're super, super talented. Jarvis Landry was my number one choice. A bit of redundancy in there, admittedly. You know, not necessarily this big-bodied outside guy or someone who's a speed threat, but still, I think the more talented guy out of all of them. But I think there's still talent left. What would you do with that position, Cole? Would you sign a veteran? Would you let it kind of play out between the young guys, the undrafted guys? Where would you go?
I think I'd sign a veteran. You know, it's really kind of down to, I'll say, two guys for me, and it's really Fuller or Julio, because I really don't see the value in adding. My prediction is they will sign T.Y. Hilton. They kind of have this tendency to retarget guys that they've looked at in the past, and we know the Ravens made a multi-year offer last year. He opted to take the one-year $10 million deal with, $10 million deal with the Colts last year instead of a multi-year. I think they reported at like 3x21 or something, so less APY, but it would have been more money over the term. So they have that tendency to kind of go at guys again, and they kind of did with Jarvis Landry. It was a guy that, you know, was talked about. They tried to trade for when he was with Miami, and you know, they've looked at him before. So, you know, again, another guy that they've looked at and then circled back on. So I really think it's going to be T.Y. Hilton. It's not what I would do. I would really look at Fuller or Julio. Basically, you're throwing a dart at a very small dartboard to keep one of these guys healthy. No different than what you did with Sammy Watkins. He was coming in. Everyone knew it was like, if he's healthy, he'll be able to contribute. When he was healthy, he contributed. He got hurt. And then it kind of felt like every time he came back in between injuries, it was like he was working his way back and wasn't 100%. It really showed. And it kind of gave him some sluggish looks to his play. But those first few weeks before the initial injury, he looked really good. He was a value add. So you look at Will Fuller, you look at Julio Jones, same situation. Who can come in and stay the healthiest for you? They both bring skill sets I think you need. Will Fuller makes a ton of sense as a complement to Rashad Bateman, as a guy that can play the flanker, play the Z, and really stretch the field. He's, again, when I talked about Hollywood Brown, you need a guy where defenses are actually going to respect your speed. Fuller's been that guy. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, that 2020 year, I think it was, he had like 900 yards through 11 weeks. Like, he was tearing it up. And then I think he got suspended for PEDs, which could be why he was staying healthy that year. I don't know. But basically, anytime he's been healthy, he's been a really good deep threat. You're going to bank on his injury. I would rather throw him, I don't know, a 1 year up to five, call it an up to $5 million, kind of what Jarvis Landry just got. It's like a base of 2.5 with incentives to get up to five. Something like that. It makes a lot of sense. It fills a need, and it brings a legit playmaker when healthy. So I think that's the route I'd go.
Yeah, I think one of Julio Jones or Will Fuller is my two top choices. And again, if you can get 10, 11 healthy games out of either of those guys, and you're prepared for the really high potential that both of them either miss time or beat up, because Julio Jones, it seems like, starting midway through the season, his hamstring is just, he's questionable every week, and then he ends up playing, misses some time, and then Will Fuller, obviously the injury history there is pretty concerning itself. So if you can maybe sneak an undraft, like Mekhi Polk, if you can sneak a Mekhi Polk onto the practice squad, if you keep five wideouts, have a Benjamin Victor or Jalen Moore on there as well, so you have that, you're prepared for it. I think it's a good route to take, because getting 10, 11, 12 healthy games out of either of those guys, even T.Y. Hilton, who I think is a little bit below them, I think would be a very good asset. Obviously, the veteran leadership and just what a veteran brings, et cetera. But Cole, there's been a lot of conversation about Chuck Clark and the potential that he could get moved. And obviously, at least for me, I would love to keep Chuck Clark around. Three safety looks with Kyle Hamilton and Chuck Clark and Marcus Williams. That is tantalizing to me. But do you feel like if the Ravens trade Chuck Clark, they would be able to get the value that they would deserve for a player like that? Because it seems like, whether it is contractually related or just the people he has at the position now, he might be unhappy about a couple of things. There's Rebeck reporting a couple of those things. So what's your read on the Clark situation and what could happen there?
Yeah, it's hard to tell because, you know, I still see a role for him. And so I don't know why he, like, obviously it's not going to be the same role. He might play less, but he also got his contract. So it's kind of like, it just seemed a little weird to me that he instantly want out. You know, there's a very clear role for him as like a dime backer. Even in the nickel, he can do some things as like an inside linebacker. And like if they go into the nickel and like, you know, second and 10, I think he could fill a role there as a coverage guy, man up tight ends, that sort of thing. So when I kind of heard that it sounded like he wanted out, I was a little surprised. And so on the trade value piece, anytime a guy is actively wanting out, it tanks their value. So, you know, in terms of what he'll return, the thing is with Chuck Clark, I wouldn't trade him for a 2023 pick. I just don't see the value in that. Like a fourth round pick next year doesn't do anything for me. He's more valuable to the 2022 Ravens, even if it's 1 year of his play, than a fourth round pick is going to be next year. So I wouldn't trade him for a pick. I would trade him for a player swap if it fits one of those positions they need. They need corners. They need receivers. Obviously, the Giants were a big connection because of the weight connection. So a guy like Darius Slayton, I think, could make sense as a trade partner. Again, fits the skill set need, and I think the value would be roughly similar. Maybe there's a pick swap to compensate. So for a receiver or a corner, I think it makes sense, but just surprised he'd want it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it'd be unfortunate if he ends up leaving and ends up forcing his way out, because I think what you can do with him in that dimebacker role, and we've seen him play that before, he's obviously a glue guy to this defense. Is he the best safety in the NFL? No, he's not the best safety in the NFL, but he has a role on this team, as you mentioned. So if he does end up departing the Ravens, I think it would be a blow to the defense, not something they can't recover from, obviously, but it would be, I think, to me, ideal if he was on the field for them in 2022. But Cole, that's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for hopping on with me talking draft and drafted guys. What do you have coming up? You've been busy recently with a lot of good player interviews, but what do you have going on as the future kind of unfolds?
It's been busy. It's been good, though. Yeah, some fun interviews with Kevin Zeitler and Nick Boyle. There's the Lounge podcast coming out this will be today. I guess it's coming out tomorrow. So, yeah, the Lounge podcast just came out today where I sat down with Mink and Downing and went through the draft class. So that's a really fun interview. There's some really good back and forward. There's some good inside jokes for folks on Twitter that I think people are going to be kicking. And then coming up, I'm actually going to take a little bit of time off. I got my second child's due in like 2 weeks. So I think now that I've got the busy season done, I'll probably hunker down and go through the newborn phase to get ready for September when the Ravens kind of are ready to go again.
Yeah, no, well, congratulations on that, by the way. That's amazing. And, of course, with all the player interviews Cole has done and with everything that he is putting out content-wise, the links to his YouTube channel will be in the description below, his Twitter, obviously, as well. Be sure to give him a follow, subscribe to his channel. He puts out great content. You heard it here for about 40 minutes today, so if you want more of that, don't miss it. And I will, again, put all those links in the description below. But thanks again, Cole. It was great having you on. That's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be diving into more Ravens content rounding out the week, so be sure to stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.